Thank you, and I welcome you to Grace Believers Bible Study again this morning. I thank you for listening and watching, and I hope it's a blessing to you. Will you turn in your Bible with me to to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, for several weeks, we've been talking about the blessings of death for the saint of God. And so this morning, I want to continue that thought. Maybe a little bit different idea here this morning. I want to talk to you about the idea that is presented, the truth that is presented in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, compared to some other scriptures. So would you read with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Paul said to these Thessalonians, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." In other words, when Christ comes to reign, those who are now asleep in Christ, he'll bring with him. Verse 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of our Lord, the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." In other words, those that trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and afterwards died, departed from their bodies, and they went to be with the Lord. And at the rapture, that which we call the rapture, the catching out of the saints, they will stand upon their feet. They will rise from the dead. And we that are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in verse 17 to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And he says, comfort one another with these words. Now, my emphasis is upon verse 13. "I would not that you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." And he says that you sorrow not, even as others, which have no hope. They're like unto those Ephesians. Go back to Ephesians and look in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, in other words, they have no hope of resurrection. They have no hope of eternal life. They have no hope of their vile bodies being changed and caught up to meet the Lord in the air. They have no hope in death. And they do not look forward to leaving their body and going to be with the Lord. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to read in verse 1, Ephesians 2, verse 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." In other words, these Ephesians then were led by a spirit, but they were led by the spirit of the devil, the spirit of the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan himself. And so they're led by this spirit. Verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved." Notice in verse 8, "For by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Come to verse 11. "Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time," time past, "at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world." In other words, there was a time in the past then that the Gentiles, such as we today, had no hope Why? Because we were aliens, not ally with, but aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel. To be an ally with Israel at that time, a Gentile had to bless the seed of Abraham according to Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12, God told Abraham, I will bless you and I will bless your seed after you. Therefore, that's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then down the line to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ then is the seed, the promised seed of Abraham, through which the people of the world could be blessed. But an individual had to bless the seed of Abraham to receive the blessing from God. But if he cursed the seed of Abraham, there was no blessing. If I put on the board back here, and I say back there in Exodus chapter 19, God Almighty called Moses, and he said, come up into the mount. And God spoke unto him up there, and he said, go and tell my people, tell Israel. So I'm going to say that this line here represents the nation Israel. He said, if you will obey my commandments, keep my covenants, you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people of the earth. You shall be a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So God exalted Israel above the Gentiles. So up here is Israel, and down here is the Gentiles. Now, they're not exalted physically as it might look with my chart up here. They're exalted spiritually and politically above the Gentiles. So the Gentiles then went through Israel to God. But instead of that taking place, Israel turned to the Gentiles and began to worship the gods of the Gentiles. So God sent the prophets unto them, and the prophets preached repentance unto them, but they didn't repent. So finally, John the Baptist comes on the scene. And John the Baptist preaches unto them, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But they didn't repent. Instead of repenting, they gave their consent to John the Baptist being killed. And so Herod had the head of John the Baptist cut off. And the leaders of Israel consented unto it. They were glad, because John was preaching unto them, and they didn't like that. Just like so many people today. You try to talk to them, you try to show them salvation, how that it's free, it's by grace, it's through faith, and it's by faith in what the Lord Jesus Christ did on Calvary, and they get upset with you. They want you out of their way. They want you to get away from them. I don't know what the number of people that I've talked to, and I say, are you saved? And they go through great detail of how they had a sickness at one time or another. And the doctors gave them up to die. But the Lord didn't give them up. They got well. And since they got well, they believe they are a Christian. Think about it. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe what? Well, Paul says that Jesus Christ died for our sins. Now, he said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel of Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. What is that gospel? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says that gospel is that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again. What is the good news, then, that I must believe to get eternal life? I must believe that Christ died for my sins, and that he was buried, and that God raised him from the dead. But not just believe that historically, because to just believe it historically would be to believe in vain. I must believe it in the sense that I need something. I must believe it in the sense that I'm lost, that I'm dead in trespasses and sin, and I have no hope. I have no hope of resurrection if I died. But just because that God Almighty, as far as I could see, healed me, wouldn't mean that I would stay healed, because those that get healed of a sickness later on die. And if all they have is to trust the fact that they got over an illness, then they're not saved. What about their sins? By one man, Romans 5:12 says, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all, for that all have sinned. The Bible says, there is none good, no, not one. There is not a just person on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. The Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. You're a sinner. You were born in sin. You're a sinner by nature, and you're a sinner by practice, and your sins have to be paid for. And having been what you thought was healed by God is not the salvation of God. What is salvation? It's trusting Jesus Christ to have died for your sins. It is turning your case over to him and saying, Jesus Christ paid my debt for sin by dying for me on Calvary. I'm trusting him as my Savior. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. But there are those of you out there that you look back and you say, well, I was in that hospital. The doctors finally came in one day and they said, there's just nothing we can do for you. And so they send you home to die. But instead of dying, you get well. Oh, you say, well, now, that's it. God Almighty has saved me. Well, why do you believe he saved you? Well, because I was sick, now I'm well. But that is not what the Bible says salvation is in this age. Salvation in this age is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's trusting that Jesus Christ died for your sins. The Bible says that God made him to be sin for us, and that he died, and that he was buried in a tomb, and after 3 days and three nights, he arose from the dead. In other words, Jesus Christ died as the result of your sins, went down, but after 3 days and three nights, he arose. And that is your guarantee that if you trust him as your Lord and Savior, you too will rise from the dead. But just because you got sick and stayed sick for a long time and then got well again doesn't mean that when you die, God is going to resurrect you later on. There is only one way that you can have the hope of resurrection. There is only one way that you can have assurance that if the rapture comes, your vile body will be changed, made like unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. What way is that? By believing on Jesus Christ and trusting him as your Lord and Savior. Notice, turn back please to 2 Corinthians, and look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternally in the heavens. For in this human body, in this tabernacle, this body of flesh, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who hath given to us the earnest of the Spirit. Verse 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Only the saved, only those that are saved by grace through faith, are confident and willing to be absent from their body that they might be present with the Lord. How about you? Does the thought of dying bother you? Why? Why would it bother you? If there was a doorway that is unseen by the human eye, it's like there's a, let's just say there was a wall. You can't see that wall, but assuming it was there. And there's a doorway through that wall. On this side of that wall is pain and agony and headache and heartache and trouble and misery, aggravation, all those things, temptation, murder, adultery, fornication, lying, stealing, all of that is on the, that's life. You have to lock your doors, fasten your windows, to keep the things in your home from being stolen. You have to protect your little girls lest they be raped or seduced. You even have to protect your little boys. Even school teachers today are seducing little boys, and on and on. And so let's say that wall, you can't see it, but there's a door in that. And so you could go through that door. On the other side, there is no murder. There is no lying. There is no cheating. There is no adultery. There is no fornication. There is none of these things that I've mentioned. But on the other side is peace and harmony. No pain, no misery, and on and on and on. Would you like that? Well, Jesus Christ is that door. Not just physically, but Jesus Christ, in dying for you, paying for your sins, being buried, rising from the dead, made a door that you accept by faith, through which you can go to where there's eternal peace and happiness. But you cannot have that. You cannot find that door except through believing that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. You can walk forward in the evangelistical service and repeat a prayer after the evangelist, but that won't show you that door. You can go to the altar and get on your knees and pray and cry and agonize over your sins while confessing your sins and on, but that won't ever show you that door. You can repent of all your sins and be baptized in water, but that won't show you that door. There is only one way to get through that door. It is by grace not of works. So what must you do then? Well, there isn't anything to do. There is something to believe. There is something to trust. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust that He paid for all your sins on Calvary. And claim Him as your Lord and Savior. Assure yourself that you have Jesus Christ by faith. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, you know, the reason I'm talking about this, there are thousands of people today that lose loved ones, and they're not sure where that loved one is. But they could have made sure before that loved one died. They could have made sure by sitting down with that loved one and say, "Are you saved?" And if that loved one talked about doing this kind of work or that kind of work or praying this prayer or praying that prayer and whatever, it'd probably be doubtful. But if that loved one straightforward said, "Oh yes, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I trusted Him as my Lord and Savior, believing that He died for my sins and was buried. Jesus Christ paid for my sins. If my sins are not paid for by the death of Christ on Calvary, then I'll sink into hell as sure as anybody." And if that person has that kind of a testimony, there is no need for you to sorrow like those that have no hope of ever seeing their loved one again. But listen to me. If you tell people about an illness you had and that the doctors gave you up, or if you went to Benny Hinn or Roberts or this one or that one and the other and they touched you, or if you put your hand on the television screen and you got healed, and on and on and on, and that's your hope of resurrection and eternal life, you have none. I'm glad to tell you, that's not the way of salvation. The way of salvation is in the fact that when Jesus Christ died, He died for you. The Bible says that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Do you know, I don't know of the hundreds of people that I've talked to, and all of them think they're original in what they have to say. And I say, "Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins?" "Oh, I believe that He died for the sins of the whole world." "Yeah, but how about you?" "Oh, He died for everybody's sins." "But how about you?" Why can it not be a personal thing with you? Why can it not be that there was a day and a spot, a place in your life where you heard the gospel and you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lady Savior, and God saved you then and there? On that particular day, the gospel of Christ became real to you. It was like a light came on and you claim Christ as your Savior. Why can that not be true in your life? It is true in thousands of lives. You're going to tell me that's a myth? Now look at this man, the greatest Christian that walked on this earth since Christ resurrected from the dead. Here he is, but he never got healed. Look at him. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I'll come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. That such an one caught up to the third heaven. And it turns out, Paul is talking about himself. Verse 3, I knew such a man, whether in the body, out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I'll say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh. That's the reason you know that the man that he's talking about in the context is he himself. There was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. But he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in mine infirmity, my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. Well, God didn't heal Paul. But you know what? He told him about something wherein there is. So I'm going to put a parenthesis out here. Now, the Bible says, through the fall of Israel, not the rise, through the fall of Israel, salvation came to the Gentiles. So Israel is a fallen nation. They're not the head of the nations anymore. And so we'll say here is the dispensation of the grace of God. Well, what do we know about the dispensation of the grace of God? We know that those that believe on Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, if they die, will be resurrected. They've got hope in death. We know that if the rapture, the catch-out, comes before they die, we know their vile bodies will be changed and they'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So God's grace is sufficient for you. It is not necessary that God Almighty heal your body right now. For all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And so God said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. In other words, there's a day coming, all that are saved are going to be changed and made like unto me. Therefore, rest in that and be calm about it. Paul never got healed, but he's going to be healed, and so will you if you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is, the rapture will come, and your vile body will be made like unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening today. Until the next time, good day.